Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." The maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. The child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. He became her son. She called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." This is God's word. As we pray this morning, would you hold hands as a family, if you can reach over and hold hands with each other? This is Mother's Day. So let's hold hands as a family this morning and ask God to bless his word. Father, we come to you humbly this morning. God, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. Father, we know that nothing, Father, of any eternal value or consequence will happen here today without you. So, Father, we pray, God, for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place this morning. Father, may we not have come just to hear another word, just to come to church again. But God, may we not just be hearers of the word only, but may we be doers of it. May we be changed by it. May we be conformed to the image of Christ. Father, I pray, God, that you would touch hearts and break hearts afresh in their relationship with you. Break hearts afresh in their relationships with each other and our families and our churches. And I pray especially, Father, for our mothers this morning. I pray they'd be encouraged, Lord. And Father, I pray that we might give them the honor that's due them, Father, in this place this morning and through the word of God. Father, I pray if there's some here today that are lost without Christ, may you draw them to yourself. And Father, may you save them today. We want to thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. We pray, we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You be seated. I believe we see in this passage a family that's living in a very, very dark time. In fact, a day and time that is much worse, we might say, than the days that we live in today. In fact, look at verse 1 and chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." Now let me ask you, can you imagine living in a time knowing that if you have a baby and he's a boy, that the authorities will sentence that baby to death? In the midst of this very dark time, there was a Levite couple by the name of Amram and Jochebed who had a baby boy whose name, as we see in Scripture this morning, is Moses. They already have two children. One is named Aaron. The other one is named Miriam. I want you to look with me this morning at at least four brushstrokes, I believe, of the divine artist, that is God himself, of a godly mother, as we look at Jochebed, the mother of Moses. I believe first we see that she was a mother who was greatly favored. Look with me, if you would, again at verse 1. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son." In this very, very dark time, in this very, very dark day, this couple decided to have a child. I can't tell you how many times I've heard couples say, "I'm not going to bring another child in this world. As bad as this world is, I would not bring another child into this world." Probably many of you have heard that statement before by many parents living in the day and time that we live in today, because of all the things and the way the world looks today in this postmodern culture. Many, many parents will say, "I would not do that again." But let me just stop and say, I believe if there ever was a time in America that Christian parents need to have children is today. We need to have children that we can raise to be champions of Christ, to pass on the banner of Christ to future generations. Listen, folks, the Muslims are having children, the Mormons are having children, all the cults are having children. Christian desperately need to have children, amen? And that's not politically correct in our day and culture today, but it's certainly biblically correct. And we live in a dark day, we live in a dreary day, in a day where the outlook doesn't look so good, even as a day that this couple lived in. But I believe this was even a much darker day. When we have to think that if you had a baby boy, think about it, parents here today, to think if you had a baby boy, that that baby boy was automatically sentenced to death. Yet this couple decided to have a child. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15, it says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she'll be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." Now, of course, he's not talking about the mother being saved to eternal salvation through having a child, but rather that a woman's significance and meaning in life and her ultimate happiness is found in bearing children. This is God's intention for the majority of women. Now, let me stop, lest I be insensitive, and say there are exceptions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it tells us that God has designed some women to be single so that they can give their full attention and devotion to the Lord. And we see scripture numerous places where God has shut the womb of other women for his own purposes. So let me pause and say that if you're a wife who cannot have a child and you desire to be a mother, there's still hope no matter what the doctor says. Amen. You're in the hands of Almighty God and nothing is impossible with God. In fact, it says in Psalm 113 and verse 9, he makes a barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. God may still choose to give you children as he did Hannah, or to give you children as he did the woman in Shunem in 2 Kings chapter 4. However, God designed the majority of women, I believe, to find their real happiness and meaning in life from having children. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 127 and verse 3, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. They're a gift to us from God. And the fruit of the womb is not his curse, folks, it's his reward." Amen. Listen, ladies, you don't need to be a president. You don't need to be a congresswoman. You don't need to be the head of a corporation. You don't need to run a local church. God has called you to something much higher than any of that. In 1908, Theodore Roosevelt echoed this truth with these words. He said, "It's a task connected with the home that are the fundamental task of humanity. After all, we can get along for the time being with an inferior quality of success in other lines, political or business, or any such kind, because if there are failings in such matters, we can make them good in the next generation. But if mother does not do her duty, there will be no next generation, or a generation that is worse than none at all." Moms, if you raise godly children, you can affect society in a way that no one else, I believe, could ever affect society. One writer aptly states, he says, "A man influences society from the top down and a woman influences society from the bottom up." Amen? Scripture, folks, exalts motherhood. We see Hannah, who is a mother of the prophet Samuel. We see Ruth, who bore Obed, who had a son named David that was the line of the Messiah. We see Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and we see Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here in our text, we see Jochebed, the mother of one of the greatest Old Testament saints who ever lived. Jochebed conceived, it says in verse 1, and had a son. She was greatly favored by God. It was a dark day, but these parents still decided to have another child. Moms, from all the children here today, thank you for your dedication and your commitment to have children. We wouldn't be here without you. Amen. As Pastor said a while ago. But not only was Jochebed a mother who was greatly favored, but as I looked at this verse and I thought, wow, this is so exciting. She was a mother who had godly foresight. Who had godly foresight. Look at verse 2 with me, the end of the verse. It says, "And when she saw him, that he was a," what? "A goodly child." And you say, what in the world does that mean? A goodly child. Some other translations translate that word goodly fine. I like one translation. It says a special child. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw, it uses this language, he was a proper child. And if you look at that word in the Greek, it means unusual or beautiful. Stephens in Acts chapter 7 and verse 20 describes Moses, this child, as beautiful in God's eyes. There was something very special. There was something very unusual about this child. There was a glow about this child that made him, I believe, radiate and shine in his mother and father's eyes. This is the child that was promised by God to the Israelites as a deliverer. He was a special child. Let me ask every mother here this morning, every mother here today, is your child a special child? Is your child an unusual child? You say, preacher, yes, my child is very unusual. My child is a special child by all means, you know. Your child might not be a Moses, but folks, I want to tell you what, they're very special. Yes. Very special. Who knows? Folks, listen, in this church, who knows how God will use your son?
Right.
Who knows how God will use your daughter in a glorious way for his kingdom? All children are special in their mom's eyes, and all moms ought to be special in their children's eyes. Jochebed, Moses' mother, saw that he was a very special child. This mom had, I believe, a God-given vision and foresight that this was a very special child and that God had a very special plan for him. Moms, I want to encourage you to continually tell your children, whisper in their ear, wow, I'm so glad that God put you in our family. You are so special. And God has something special to do with you, son. God has something special to do with you, daughter. I thank God that my mother often said to me, she said, Sam, or she really said Sammy, Debbie's shaking her head, and I don't like to use Sammy. She said, Sammy, God has something really special for you. You know how encouraging that is to hear from a parent? Folks, I just want to encourage you dads too. Often tell your children how special they are, image bearers of God. And I've told my sons many times, I said, listen, there's no one else quite like you. God has got a special plan for you, and mom and dad are here to help you in accomplishing that plan that God has for you. I thank God. I thank God for a mother who had godly foresight. We see that Jochebed was a mother who was greatly favored, and she was a mother who had godly foresight. But let me say also, as we paint this divine picture of this mother, she was a mother who had a genuine faith. Look with me, if you would, at verse 2 and 3 again. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with the slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. This mother believed that since Moses was an unusual child, that God could provide unusual protection. Amen? So she hid him for 3 months. Let me stop here for a second. I thought about this. I thought, moms, how easy would it be for you to try to hide your baby for 3 months? I mean, that's not really an easy thing to do, fearing that if someone found your baby boy, they found him, they would kill him. Wow, that's not an easy job. I mean, the baby starts crying. What do? You try to hide him and make sure nobody hears that crying, or your baby has a stinky diaper. Amen. And you want to fix it real quick so nobody can smell that. You want to show your child off to other families, but you are very careful to do that because you're hiding him, knowing that if the king finds him, that the king would kill him. Can you imagine moms taking your 3-month-old baby out and putting him in a floating basket and not knowing whether or not you would ever see that little baby boy again? How do you think Jochebed felt the night before she left him? Can you see her holding him tightly in her arms? Can you see the big tears maybe rolling down her cheeks as she thought about tomorrow's the day I'm going to leave my baby boy in this little basket on the river? Can you see the expression upon her face? How do you think Jochebed felt early in the morning when she took her baby boy, this little baby, to the river to put him in this basket? Perhaps Jochebed felt like Patty Hansen felt, who wrote these words before she let the nurse take her baby away. And this is what she said. You had your eyes open a little while ago, but now you just want to sleep. I wish you'd open your eyes and look at me, my child, my precious, my angel sent from heaven. This will be the last time we're together. As I hold you close to me and feel your tiny body warm against my own, I look at you and look at you. I feel as if my eyes can't hold you enough. In a few minutes, they'll come and take you away. They'll take you away from me. But for now, this is our time together, and you belong to me. Your cheeks are still bruised from your birth. They feel so soft to my fingertips, like the wings of a butterfly. Your eyebrows are tightly clenched in concentration. Are you dreaming? You have too many eyelashes to count, and yet I want to engrave them all in my mind. I don't want to forget anything about you. Is it all right that you're breathing so rapidly? I love you with all my heart. I love you so much, and there's no way to tell you. Hope that someday you'll understand. I'm giving you away because I love you. Do I have to let you go? I can feel your heart beating rapidly, and you finally open your eyes. You look into my eyes with your trust and innocence, and we lock hearts. I give you to the nurse. I feel as if I could die. Goodbye, my baby. A piece of my heart will be with you always and forever. I love you. I love you. I love you. Someone else, I think, very beautifully describes it this way. Making a decision to have a child is momentous. It is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside your body. You parents know what that's like. Jochebed trusted in the providence of God with her 3-month-old baby by putting him in God's hands. She believed in the sovereignty and the providence of God. She believed, even as we sang this morning, great is thy faithfulness. Amen. How could Jochebed do such a thing? God tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not, listen, they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Amen. Just what was the king's commandments? The king had ordered, as I said previously, for all the baby boys to be killed. Look back at it with me at chapter 1 in Exodus in verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives, you ought to underline this in your Bibles, feared God. Amen. And did not as the king of Egypt commanded, but save the men children alive. Amen. Look at verse 20. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Or what that means is he gave them families. Jochebed, like these Hebrew midwives, had a greater fear of God than she did of man. She had a greater fear of God than she did of the king. She was a God-fearing woman. Amen. In Proverbs 29 and verse 25, it says, the fear of God bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Wow, what a great verse for us today. John Witherspoon said it this way, it's only the fear of God that will deliver man from the fear of man. What is the secret of this great woman's faith? It's the same secret of all great women. The secret of a great woman, a great godly woman today, says in Proverbs 31 and verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be what, church? Praise. She shall be praised. I like what it says in Psalm 34 and verse 7. In light of the passage we're reading here this morning, it says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. A woman who fears God is a woman who has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And her relationship with Jesus Christ causes her to marvel at the greatness and the majesty and the wonderful goodness of God. She meditates upon it. She marvels at it. She is a God-fearing woman. Yes, Jochebed was a mother who was greatly favored. She was a mother who had godly foresight, and she was a mother. I believe, who was God-fearing, that possessed a genuine faith in the Lord. But let me say lastly, she was a mother also who saw a glorious finish. Who saw a glorious finish. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to do what, church? To please Him. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. Looking back at Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1 through 10, the passage we read here this morning, you see the sovereign hand of God working all through this passage. Jochebed puts Moses in the basket by faith. The princess comes to the Nile River where Pharaoh had ordered babies to be drowned and killed and draws the baby out. Why? God sent her. Angels sent all the crocodiles to the other side of the river. Angels pinch baby Moses so that he would cry and be heard right at the exact time. Moses' sister Miriam suggests to the princess that Jochebed nurse the baby, the mother. Jochebed is paid to nurse her own son and provided food and lodging for both her and him. Moses is educated at the expense of the Pharaoh who had ordered that he be killed. Wow. I marvel at the sovereignty of God. Amen. And the providence of God. Look at with me again at verse 8 and 9 in chapter 2. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me. This is very significant. And I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. How long, we might ask a question, how long was Jochebed able to nurse baby Moses? Now don't miss this. A Hebrew child was normally weaned at about 2 to 3 years old. This is a time in an infant's life when he or she has the shape and characters the most influenced in that child by the one who is watching and looking after that child. 2 to 3 years old. Jochebed had this child, probably this baby, Moses, up through the ages of 3 years old. Jochebed was able to give correction. She was able to give love. She was able to give instruction to baby Moses. And she was able to teach him the fear of the Lord. You leave a child to himself and he'll bring you to shame, the Bible says. You spend time with the child and he'll bring glory to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24 is a commentary, I believe, on Proverbs 22:6, where it says these words. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chooses great affliction over great riches and great pleasures of sin. Why? Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Why? Why did he esteem or consider it much better to have Christ than the treasures of Egypt? Because in these early years when Jochebed, his mother, had him, up to the time she weaned him, she trained him in the things of the Lord. She trained him in the fear of God. She trained him to love God supremely and preeminently. She instilled in him the majesty of God. His mother trained him to have a genuine faith where he would fear God more than he would fear man. Verse 27 there says, by faith in Hebrews chapter 11, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moms, never take for granted how important it is, the shaping of that baby you have in those early years. Training that little baby to love Jesus Christ. Teaching them scripture. Teaching them the majesty of the Lord. I was so encouraged a few weeks ago when we stopped in Houston, Texas, on our way out to the Northwest. And we got to keep our beautiful granddaughter and grandson, 2-year-old and 3-year-old, we got to keep them for 5 days by ourselves. And mom and dad had their 5th anniversary and they went off on a trip for 5 days and we had the joy of keeping our grandchildren, but it was wonderful every day because they had been trained. My 3-year-old granddaughter has memorized, I don't know, probably 20 or 30 verses already. And they're training her every week a new verse and memorizing the Word of God and putting it into her heart. She's got the little yellow, My First Question book, and she can go through the little book and answer all those questions. I was so thrilled. I thought they are instilling, their mom and dad are instilling and taking time to put the Word of God in this little child's heart. What a joy. How wonderful. You may be here this morning. You say, but preacher, I didn't see a glorious finish. My baby was miscarried. You may say, preacher, like the babies of many of these mothers in this story here whose babies were drowned, my baby died. Well, let me say, you will see a glorious finish one day.
Yes.
Because one day you'll get to see them again in heaven. Amen. And you'll get to rejoice when you see that little face in heaven waiting for you. As I close, let me say I'm thankful to have had such a mother. I grew up in Lynchburg, Virginia, the youngest of 8 children. My dad drank most of his life. And I had a mom who lived in a dark day where her husband, did not provide for her family a lot. He was not the spiritual leader in our home. It was a very, very dark and very, very hard day for my mom. A mom who had 8 children to provide for and 8 children to care for. A mom who worked 40 hours per week to provide for her family and 40 hours a week to take care of her family at a job. A mom who took trips across town to a laundromat. I can remember it like yesterday. She'd line us all up in a line. It's time to do the laundry. We'd be hauling baskets of clothes down the sidewalks to a laundromat 3 or 4 or 5 blocks away from our house and put the coins in that laundromat to wash the clothes and dry the clothes and spend the half a day there, whatever time it would take. A mom who bought us clothes or an ice cream cone at the expense of getting herself nothing. A mom who always encouraged me and told me, as I said a while ago, that I was special and God had something special for my life. A mom who walked all of her children across town several miles every Sunday morning to make sure they were in church. Get up early in the morning, get every one of the kids ready. Even though my dad didn't go to church, she would fix the meal before we would leave in the morning so that it would be on the table when we got back home, because Dad demanded that it be on the table. But she'd get up early and fix that meal, get us all dressed. We'd walk across town to church and get back. I think about that often. A mom who got up before everyone else and went to bed after everyone else. A mom who never gave up on her husband. Never gave up on her marriage. And never gave up on her children later to see her husband get saved.
Amen.
A mom today who has a rich heritage of 6 children in heaven. 6 children, excuse me, living and 2 in heaven. And over 20 grandchildren and over 20 great-grandchildren. Like Jochebed, my mom was a mother who was greatly favored. I believe she was a mother who had a godly foresight. She was a mother who possessed a genuine faith, and she's a mother who is experiencing a glorious finish. Let me say I'm also thankful. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that for this wonderful mother sitting right here this morning that God has given to me, my wife Debbie. She is a gift to me from God. She's a gift to my boys from God. And that mother sitting beside you, sir, this morning is a gift to you from God. And she's a gift to your children from God. You say, well, preacher, as a mother, it sounds like the perfect mom. You know what, Debbie and I were talking as we were driving over here this morning. And I think every parent in here would say, you know, if I had it all over to do again, I would do some things a little bit different. I certainly, my 4 boys, I look back and I think, wow, I wish I'd have done this different, that different, a little bit different. But you know what? Today is the first day of the rest of your life.
Amen.
And you may be here this morning and you say, preacher, I hurt so bad because maybe you're here as a woman and you've aborted a baby. But I want to tell you there's grace at the foot of the cross.
Yes.
Amen? There's grace at the foot of the cross. And you may be a mother who's hurting because, as I said a while ago, your baby is in heaven, but you will see that baby again. This is just, hey, listen, this life is just a vapor. We're just passing through very, very quickly. Maybe your mother's got some regrets and you think, wow, I wish I'd have done it this way or that way. But listen, today, decide today to give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, to make Him preeminent and supreme in your life, to be this God-fearing woman who teaches your children in the things of the Lord. I want you to bow your heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. Father, thank You. Thank You, God, for Your Word. I thank You, God, that we take time to celebrate Mother's Day. Father, certainly You celebrate mothers in Scripture. We should celebrate it also, and we do this morning. I thank You for every mom in this building this morning. Lord, I pray, God, that, Father, in just a moment, Father, that children all over this building might go to Mom and just lavish love on her, let her know how much they love her and how special she is to them. I pray that mothers would be encouraged in the Lord here this morning. And Father, I pray, God, if there's some mothers here today, Father, do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, that today You might draw them to Yourself, and God, that You might save them. Father, I pray for young people here today. I pray for husbands and men here today, Lord, that may not know Christ. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, that You might give them the gift of faith today, and Father, that they would believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would be saved today. Do that work, Father, I pray, in our hearts and homes here this morning. In the next few minutes, that we'll be glorifying to You. We pray, we ask these things in Jesus' name.